as we head into the Thanksgiving season, I know some of y'all are blowing right past Thanksgiving and y'all already set up for Christmas. I can't say anything because that's what we did last night as a family. But there is this moment in time in which our country sets aside an opportunity for us to give Thanksgiving. I think we've lost the purpose and the meaning behind it. I think a lot of the holidays in which we celebrate, we've lost the meaning and the purpose behind those. I want to start today thanking the veterans. If you're a veteran that has served our country, I would like to embarrass you and ask that you stand, please, so that we as a church can recognize you. There we go. We got one. There's okay. All right. There we go. Thank you for our service to our country, and I'm sure for most of y'all, your service to the Lord through the calling that you had to go into the military. A couple of things I need to go over because Chris is just terrible at announcements. I'm just kidding. I'm playing. I'm joking. I will not criticize his announcing because I don't want to do it anymore. All right, so I'm going to let him have it. But he did text me. We forgot one thing. But tonight, I do want to take time as your pastor to invite you back to 4:30 for our packing party. We're hoping to be able to pack 200 boxes, shoe boxes tonight from the materials that we've been collecting most of the year on that. It starts at 4:30. We'll be down there in the gym. We'll have a time in which we can pack those boxes and pray over those boxes before we ship them off this week. If you have not turned your shoe boxes in, this is the day to do it. If today doesn't work for you, I don't think me and Chris will have time to take them to First until about Thursday. So they'll be here in the church until Thursday, and then Thursday we're going to ship them over to First Baptist to get them on a truck so that we can get them where they need to go with that. I want to encourage people tonight, hey, if you haven't brought your cans or your Thanksgiving basket supplies in, tonight would be a great time. We're going to have the buckets set down there, so as you come in to pack your shoebox, you can drop your buckets in the box so that we can be a blessing for some families here in our area on that. And then the one thing that we did forget to announce, which I think I forgot to make a slide for it, so it's not on you, I think it's on me, would be next Sunday night we're going to have a movie night. We're going to be doing a movie night in the gymnasium. The children are going to be watching one movie in the children's building, and the adults are going to be watching Woodlawn. That's what it was called, Woodlawn. It's an older movie, but we haven't watched it, and it's a great football movie based on true story down in Birmingham area of Alabama. So it's going to be a great time next week before we do that. So please make plans or think about coming for that. All right, with that being said, now let's jump into the sermon. If you'll turn with me to Romans chapter 1, that's where we're going to be today, is Romans chapter 1. We're going to focus just on a few scriptures, and what I want to do, what I'm going to try to do, is I want to break down these scriptures, just explain what's being said, and then give us a challenge to end for tonight. All right, but as we head into the Thanksgiving holiday, we have a choice as Christians. We can focus on non-important things such as football, important things such as family, or eternal things such as faith. We can complain about the things that go wrong, or we can focus on the many reasons to be grateful. James 1:17 tells us all good things come from God. The best thing that comes from God is his eternal salvation through his son Jesus. If we belong to him, we know that even though things do not all appear good to us, we can be redeemed by God for his glory and for the ultimate good. God deserves our thanksgiving, always, not just once a year. As Christians, our focus should be on thanksgiving directed to God and his goodness that has spread all throughout our lives. And that's our goal over the next 3 weeks, is for us to focus in on thanksgiving, not thanksgiving necessarily for the things that we have or for the holiday in which we celebrate, but thanksgiving in that God is on his throne. God loves us, and God blesses us so much more than we deserve or will ever deserve to do. So Romans chapter 1, starting in verse 21, we're going to go through verse 23, says this: For even though they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks, but they became futile in their speculations, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the incorruptible God for an image in the form of corruptible man and of birds and four-footed animals and crawling creatures. And in this brief exchange here, as he proceeds from here talking about how because of their actions, God gave them over to their lust. And we used this several weeks ago to show you where our country and where we are headed, as that we've been given over if we don't stand spiritually, if we don't repent spiritually. We're not talking politically. We don't need a political revival in this country. We need a spiritual awakening inside the believers of Jesus Christ. What does the verse say? If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray, then he'll heal their land. He didn't say if lost people get saved or if lost people feel bad about their sins. No, this says if my people who are called by my name will start doing right, then the land will be healed. There's this calling inside of us to do this. And what we see here in verse 21 is in that calling, he's saying, thanklessness leads to darkness. Darkness of mind, darkness of heart, darkness of understanding, which ultimately leads us to foolishness. And in these verses, it shows you how imperative it is as we as believers live in thankfulness, live in gratefulness, live in understanding that what I have is not because of these hands, but because of God Almighty. I want us to break this verse 21 and verse 22 down, and I want us to see what it says. And I want to read those verse 21 again. It says, "For even though they knew God, they did not honor him or give thanks, but they became futile in their speculations and their foolish hearts were darkened." You see, in that first verse, we see two things here. Thanklessness leads to a darkenedness of mind. So as thankfulness leaves our body and our hearts, our darkened mind starts to grow. You see, God gave us minds with a capacity of reason and imaginations and speculations. It gives us the ability to think and ponder and meditate. That's how wonderful and amazing that our minds, our brains are, in which God gave to us. The question is why? Why did God give us a mind with the capacity that he gives us? And I believe it's so that we might use our minds to think about him, speak of him, praise him, and to honor him. See, God gave us a mind with the capacity to understand just a fraction of how amazing he is. And in that fraction of understanding that we have on how amazing God is, we are supposed to then in return, supposed to declare, profess, show people, live out our lives in such a way that we tell people how amazing, how awesome, and how wonderful God is. When we are not thankful when we are not thankful to God, our minds become futile, which means they become empty and useless. So what am I saying to you? That if we don't use the capacity of our minds to be thankful for God, they become empty and useless. Now, I have one teenager, and I have one child that's fastly approaching the teenage years. By the way, y'all told me that happened fast. I didn't believe y'all, and I'm sorry. All right. But I've worked with teenagers for a long time. And so I can say this. I know something of an empty mind. Parents, I thought I'd get an amen on that. Not a slow chuckle. There's something about the brilliance of teenagers. There's something about these kids that have wonder and understanding. I'll tell you this right now. Kids have a better understanding than most adults. As a youth minister, you can be anything you want to be, but you better be real. Because they will reach, they will understand, and they will know before anybody else that you're putting on or that you're faking. Do you know what sophomore means? sophisticated moron. And for most of the teachers in here, they're shaking your head. I think y'all agree with me. Teenagers are brilliant, brilliant people. But sometimes they just let that head get empty and just do some silly, silly stuff. Let me throw this out there. I'm 42 years old. And there's times in which my brain is useless and empty. And I believe what Scripture is teaching us here is when we become thankless unto God, we start losing the capacity that God gave us to be grateful for anything and to be happy about anything. The farther you are away from God, do you not throw the woe is me pity parties? Have you ever come off of a spiritual high? And what is it always followed by? This deep drop. Because most of the times when we hit a high spiritually, we spend too much time thinking we had something to do with it and not enough time thanking God for what he did in our lives. You see, thanklessness leads to a darkenedness of mind, and that the next natural step is it leads to a darkened heart. The only light in the universe that can fill the heart of man is the light of the glory of God. Now I want you to think about the society in which we live in and think about all the artificial light that we tried to illuminate. One old preacher, I believe it was Vance Havner, said, there's never been more artificial illumination, and you get so much darkness in the world today. And he said this in the 50s. Our world is consumed with artificial light, consumed with us making the dark world around us illuminate. And when it comes to natural world, yes, that works, but when it comes to spiritual world, that works also. We go around trying to illuminate our lives instead of allow God to illuminate it. So it tells me that our heart is designed to cast spiritual light into this world. That means that out of the overflow, and we've talked about this, over the overflow of the heart, our lives spill out into the community, right? So if we fill up our hearts with darkness, the thing that's going to come out of our life is darkness. But if we fill our hearts with light, it's going to spill out, and the light of Christ is going to be illuminated and throughout all this earth. All right? So the heart is designed to cast spiritual light, yet the heart is not designed to produce any light. It must come from an outside source. So what is that that illuminates our heart? It's the glory of the Spirit of God that he sent after Jesus went to heaven. The Holy Spirit that came into our lives illuminates inside of us. But what happens is when we're not thankful for the Holy Spirit, we're not thankful for God, we're not thankful for the things in our lives, our minds start to darken. And the next natural step after our minds darken is what? Our hearts start to darken. Can I be honest with y'all for just a second? I don't know if I can say this at the second service. Some of the meanest people that I ever met were faithful attenders of church. I have never had my feelings hurt outside of this church worse than I've had inside of church. I've been watching this thing developing, and then there's this tattoo artist that was very famous on TV, gave her life to Christ. She was in the occult, and she repented of all that stuff, and she dedicated herself to Christ. She got baptized, and she's trying to live out her faith. You know, the meanest people to her right now are those that call themselves Christians. I'm looking at a room full of what I believe to be professed Christians and say, when we're not thankful for God, our hearts become darkened. When our hearts become darkened, the only thing that we can throw out of our life is darkness and shade instead of light and love. You see, the thanklessness leads to darkness of mind. It leads to the darkness of your heart. And verse 22 says this. It says, professing to be wise, they became foolish. Because then it leads to darkened understanding. So our minds have been darkened, our hearts have been darkened, and now our understanding becomes darkened. And this is a throwback to Eve in the garden. Darkness makes us think that we know what's best, that we know how to handle things. Satan came to Eve and says, oh, you don't really believe that if you touch that, you'll die, right? He just don't want you to know like he knows. He don't want you to have the wisdom that he has. You can do that, right? And what does she do? She takes it, she eats, she gives it to Adam. Darkness calls us to think that we know better than God. Darkness calls us to think that God doesn't know us good enough. God ever told you to do something and you reason with him that he didn't understand you enough to ask you to do that of? I know, God, you want me to do that, but you don't understand. Huh? Yeah, God don't understand, Adam. That's the problem. It's God's understanding is the problem in that situation. Like in the garden, though, our choices lead us away from God, not towards God. The moment they partook of that fruit, the moment they broke the rule, the moment they rebelled against God, it said they hid themselves. They ran away from him. Instead of him coming in the cool of the day in the Garden of Eden, I imagine they came running to him. And in this moment in time, they ran away from him and hid. Because our decisions that are darkened lead us away from God that is the light. And like in the garden, we're wrong. We can't allow darkness to infiltrate our lives. Therefore, we cannot allow our lives to be thankless unto God. And then it says in verse 23, "And exchange the glory of the incorruptible God for an image in the form of corruptible man and of birds and four-footed animals and crawling creatures." You see, it's foolish to exchange God for something that is infinitely less valuable. I saw a video the other day. They put $10,000 in front of a kid and four Oreo cookies and say, "Which one do you want?" Can y'all guess what the kid got? Four Oreo cookies. $10,000 meant nothing to him, but those four Oreo cookies meant everything in the world. Guys, when we place our faith in the things of this world and the things outside of God, we're choosing four Oreo cookies over hundreds of millions of dollars of value, which is God. We're exchanging the incorruptible God of the universe for the corruptible things of this universe. And we think it's hilarious that a child would choose cookies over money, yet we choose what over God? Often. I said we, not you. We choose so many things over God. I'm going to tell y'all something. There's some days I choose sleep over God. There's some days I choose, I don't know anything to call it, but wasting time over God. And we wonder what's wrong because we become so thankless that we think we know what we're doing, yet our understanding has been darkened and it's led us to become fools. It's foolish to exchange that which cannot be corrupted for something that can be corrupted. Now, I've been at this church for a long time, and as I look out here, I see a lot of people that I consider really good friends of mine. I look out here and I see people that I have a lot of faith and a lot of trust. And I don't believe there's some people in this room, not all the people in this room, sorry about that. But there's some people in this room that I don't think would ever do anything to harm me on purpose. But the one thing we all have in common in this room today is we're corruptible. We're finite. We can make mistakes. We can choose to do the wrong thing. Therefore, there is nobody in this room, nobody in my life, even my mama, sorry, that will ever love me in the same manner in which God Almighty will. Because not only is he incorruptible, but he's good. And we're corrupted. And as much as we want to be good, would y'all agree with me that we struggle with being good and bad comes out often? And we treat people that embarrass us in ways, and we talk about people in ways that embarrass us afterwards, and we want to stop, but there's just something that causes those things to happen. So thanklessness leads to darkened of mind. Thanklessness leads to darkened heart. Thanklessness leads to darkened understanding. Thanklessness leads to foolishness. So would y'all agree with me that thankfulness is extremely important in our lives? It's not a holiday that we celebrate because the pilgrims survived. Now, when they celebrated that first Thanksgiving, I would imagine they were extremely grateful to God. I read an article this week that said at one point the pilgrims were rationing food to 4 kernels of corn per person. Think about that. 4 kernels of corn per person was given out, and then all of a sudden some ship shows up out of nowhere, they don't know where, and trades with them, and then the Native Americans come in and start helping them and start doing all this. I imagine they were extremely grateful to the God that they were, because they were Christians. Whether we want to erase that or wipe that out of history, the fact of the matter is they were Christians. They believed in Jesus Christ and the God of the Bible. And I would imagine they were extremely grateful to God for that. But over the years, Thanksgiving has become a football holiday. It's become a gluttonous holiday. It's become a lot of things. When I was in college, Chris knows one of the guys I went to school with. We had what we call the Turkey Bowl Classic, which means all the guys would come back from college and we'd show up and we'd play football against each other. That lasted about 3 or 4 years until we all realized, hey, we don't need to be doing that. That we're getting too old for that. And that's what it was. I came back to town not to spend time with my family, not to do all these things, but to catch up with my friends and play a little game of football. That became the most exciting thing in my life. Thanksgiving has become something that it's not supposed to be, especially in the Christian life. So let's take these understanding that we came at and let's see what thankfulness does to us. Number one, thankfulness opens up our mind to its full understanding of how great God is. Now, oftentimes our futile minds like to think about how great and amazing we are, or how great and amazing this is, or how great and amazing that is. I'm telling you, here and now, the thankfulness should lead us to the understanding that the God of the Bible, the God of the universe, the God in which we worship, is the most amazing, wonderful thing that ever came and will ever come into our hearts and our lives. Politics cannot hold a candle to him. This country and our patriotism cannot hold a candle unto who God is and how important that he is in our life. Thankfulness should lead us as believers to this altar every Sunday saying, God, thank you for you. Thank you that you saw fit to introduce yourself into my life and to change my life forevermore. Thankfulness leads us to the understanding that God is great and everything else is not. Second thing, thankfulness opens up our heart to see how blessed we are. So often we like to focus on the things that we don't have instead of the things that we do have. We like to complain about how small our TV is instead of how awesome it is that we have a TV. When I grew up, I don't remember anybody having multiple TVs in their house. Am I the only one that plays that? There's probably some people in this house remembers not having TVs in a house. All right? I remember I had to get up and turn the knob for my grandmama. If she wanted to, I was the remote control, okay? I had to walk up there and turn it until she was happy with whatever was on there. And then here we are. We have TVs upon TVs upon TVs, and all we can talk about is, I can't wait for Black Friday so I can get another TV. How many TVs can we sell in a lifetime? I don't know about y'all, but this Black Friday, I need groceries to go on sale. I don't need a TV. I don't need toys. I need groceries on sale this Black Friday. But as we become thankful, we open up our hearts. We start understanding how amazingly blessed we are. I have 3 cars in my household. Nobody has to walk where they want to go. They don't have to share. I live in a house with air conditioning. Whether we realize this or not, air conditioning is a luxury. It's not a necessity, okay? We lived a long time without air conditioning, but I don't know if I can survive without it now. But now I could because it's cold. But when it was hot, I don't think I can survive without it. We start looking around and we start saying, well, I don't do like this person, or I don't have what this person has, or I wish I had this, or I wish I made more, or I wish this, I wish that. And when we're not thankful for what we have, our minds become darkened, our hearts become darkened. But when we are thankful for what we have, we come to a full understanding of how much better we have it. If you live in poverty in America, you're living better than 80% of the world. And yet we're constantly complaining. There was a time in which I heard, it was with Addison, but somebody in her class was being made fun of for not wearing a name brand clothes. And you know me, I assume my kid did it. Okay, I know Addison's sweet and she'd never do anything like that. She better never do anything like that. And so I pull her into the living room and I said, Addison, I heard that there's some people making fun of this girl because she wasn't wearing name brand clothes. Is that true? She's like, yes, it's true. I said, did you take part in it? No, sir. I said, I need you to be honest with me right now. If you did it, say it. But if you didn't, okay. And she said, I didn't. I didn't say anything. I said, did you take up for it? She said, no, sir. I said, well, number one, let me educate you, Addison. The clothes that you wear is on me. It's not on you. You don't get to brag about them. All right? Because I grew up most of my life in Payless shoes and Walmart jeans and Walmart shirts. And I was made fun of most of my life for it. I didn't like going to church on Easter. You know why? Because everybody at church showed up with new clothes and I couldn't. I said, so the one thing we're not going to do in this household is make fun of somebody for the clothes in which they wear. Or I will sell every piece of name brand that you have and you will live in non-name brand the rest of the time that you're in my household. That's how serious it is. You know why? Because we are going to be thankful for what we have, not brag about what we have. Because it's only by the grace and the love and the compassion of God that me and Heather have anything. We've ruined ourselves financially 100 times over since we've been married. And yet we stand where we are, not because we pulled ourselves up by our bootstraps, but because God in his infinite wisdom blessed us in measures and ways we can never understand. And all we can do is rest in thankfulness instead of brag about what we have. So I challenge you to be thankful, not just for who God is, but be thankful for the things that you have. And I'm not talking about this Thanksgiving season. I'm talking about every week, every day, every minute of your life. Can I be honest with you before I move on? I'm not trying to pity you. I'm not trying to call y'all. I guess I am calling y'all out. Y'all do me a favor. Let's pray that the altars of God open up once again. That people come to the front. We're not sitting in our pews wondering about what's wrong with them. We're just rejoicing that God's doing something in somebody's life to the point that they feel like they got to come to his altar again. Because when it says, when my people call on my name, that's what they're talking about, is being at the altar, being on their knees before God. And if we want to see revival in this church, it's not going to come, it's sure not going to come from my great preaching or great leadership. It's going to come with our people on their knees before God, begging him to bless us. Last, third thing. Thankfulness allows us to fully grasp God at work around us, even in bad times. I find that I'm only thankful when everything's going good. I find that it's easier to be thankful to God when blessings are falling. But as I look back at some of the most tragic, despairing moments in my life, I think my heart overflows more with thankfulness looking back over tragedy than it does looking over the good things. It was only by the grace and the power of God that I got through the loss of my niece and nephew. It was only by the great grace and love and the tragedy or in the manifestation of the Spirit in my heart that I was not only able to lose my grandmother, but due to her funeral. And I look back on those days in sadness, yes, but I look back on those things with some of the most thankful attitudes in my life because I was able to see God at work. Oftentimes, success distracts us from God. And bad times magnify God. I say this all the time. I believe God lives at the end of my rope. And it's only when I get to the end of my rope that I find God the way I'm supposed to find him all the time. But I do everything in my strength, everything in my power, everything in my understanding before I ever ask God to do that. Thankfulness allows us to grasp what God is doing in and around us at all times. And lastly, thankfulness allows us to look past distractions and to focus on God. I'm afraid that a lot of the things that we have and a lot of the things that we get caught up on and a lot of the stuff that's going around in this world is of Satan to distract us from what God's trying to do. We think they're blessings of God and they're distractions of Satan. Falling down on our life to keep us from seeing who God is and what he's doing. I believe we're the most distracted generation of believers ever to walk the face of this earth. I want to ask you a question. What consumes more of your life? This or this? We're distracted by technology. We're distracted by wealth. We're distracted by jobs. We're distracted by hobbies. We're distracted by all these things. And I truly believe that thankfulness allows us to look past those things and see who God really is and what God's doing around us. So what does that mean? Thankfulness opens up our mind to fully understand how great God is. Thankfulness opens up our heart to grasp how blessed we are. Thankfulness allows us to fully grasp God at work around us, even in the worst of times. And thankfulness allows us to look past distractions and focus on God. Here in just a moment, we're going to have an invitation. That invitation is exactly what it sounds like. I'm inviting you to respond to what God's speaking to you about in your life. I don't know what's going on. I don't know how God is working through this sermon in your life. I do know this. His altar is open and his people should be open for you to come here with no judgment and with no understanding. You come to do what God's calling you to do. Number one, if there's anyone in here that doesn't understand the salvation and the great message that is Jesus Christ and how he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me. If you haven't been introduced to him, I encourage you to come talk to me. Let me share with you the gospel that is Jesus is the way, the only way. There's people in here that something of this message is convicting your heart. Something of this message is rumbling in your spirit. I pray that you find an opportunity to do business, whether it's during the invitation at this altar, whether it's invitation at your seat, whether it's time after this service. But you do take time to ask God to continue to move in your life, continue to bring conviction in your life. There's people in here that's calling, they feel that calling of God to come and join this church, be a part of this church. We'd love to have you. Just come speak with me or Chris. Y'all stand with me. Let's go to the Lord in prayer.